Well, God's grace and mercy and peace be unto you from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who grants us the forgiveness of sins. Our text today is going to come from St. John 19. But before we jump into that, I've got to say, did anyone wonder why didn't we sing all the verses to Lift High the Cross, right? Only one person wondered why. A couple others. Stay tuned, okay? We're not done yet. So there, because, oh, yeah, that's a tough one to split up. But as we close our service, we'll finish up that song in their last couple verses that really belt it up, because we're talking about this. Now, what are we talking about? Christ crucified here on the second Sunday after Epiphany. This should be Good Friday. And I know one person for sure in our congregation. He's a friend of mine, Dennis. I don't want to call you out, but he's sitting right over that area. And Dennis said, this is not the text for this Sunday. And I would kind of think that he would know that because his son's a classmate of mine, pastor out on the East Coast. And he's like, what are these verses? What's with this earthquake in Ezekiel and Christ crucified with Paul and Pilate sending Jesus to be crucified? This is Lenten language. Well, as we are walking through the great sending of this year of 2022, and we're looking at the Florida, Georgia district stuff that we're doing, they started us off with Easter, the resurrection of Jesus, and then they moved us into who do you say Jesus is, which is an amazing thing that we're all ready to say who Jesus is, and now it's kind of there with the crucifixion, because without the crucifixion, we preach Christ crucified, we'd have got nothing to talk about. So if we're people that are going to be sent in the name of Christ to our spouse, to the people in our homes, to the people we drive with, the people we play with, the people we walk around with, we've got to know our stuff. We just can't have information. It's got to be our identity. And so we get this text. So Pilate is the he here. So Pilate delivered Jesus over to them, the guards and those who are going to do the crucifixion, to be executed, to be crucified, to be taken care of. He is sent to the cross. Now, what does this cross mean for us when we see this cross? When we see the cross of Jesus, what comes to mind for you? When you see it on a steeple, you may see it as a bookmark. You may have it on a piece of jewelry. What do you see this? The pastors are to wear them in the worship service. What does this mean for you? What does it connect with? So it comes a part of our life. And so it was, Jesus was crucified. The cross takes us right there. He was delivered over to be crucified, and so he was crucified. Now, we all kind of can go around our communities and discuss people. You can go to Wawa or to Walmart or to Aldi's or wherever you go, want to go, and ask people in the restaurants, you go, what does the cross mean to you? And it's starting to lose its meaning across the board. You know, it's just kind of a piece of equipment. It can be earrings or whatever people wear because it's cool. Is it really communicating what it's supposed to communicate? Because over time, the world works hard to take away what God has given us. So what do you say that it means? If you were to have a conversation with someone who's in third grade and say, let's talk about the cross, what are you going to share with them? But now suddenly that third grader is in college. And the messages that are being sent to the ones in college is way different than what the third grader is being exposed to. What do you say to them? Or how do we talk about it with people in our lives as we're playing cards and doing things and having meals and going about our business, wherever it may take us? What are we sharing about this cross? And what does it really mean to us? Well, let's get into it a little bit more deeply here than what we'd probably share with a third grader or maybe a college kid or even people on the street, but it gives us this foundation. How can the victory of God, of Jesus, come from execution? How can this victory that is delivered to us come from an execution? It doesn't make sense. That's why Paul is saying this is a stumbling block. We don't get this. Death is death. And where does victory come from? Death. How can it be? So this is the power of the cross. The cross moves us from information to a transformation in us by the gospel victory of the cross. In our words, in 2022, we like to say the empty cross. Because remember, the whole concept of that cross is this is a place that Jesus went in our place. When God looked down to the world and he saw you before you were even created, he saw you belonged on the cross for an eternity. He realized his creation has run amok, they have run afoul, and now what is in store for them is not the flood that destroyed that. It is the crucifixion of eternity. It's another way to describe hell. The eternal crucifixion of body and soul on the cross. And so God looks down and he sees your crucifixion on the cross, and out of grace and of mercy and of love, these three great big words, mercy, grace, and love, he sees you on the cross and he says, no, I'm not having that. That's not how it's going to be. And so he glances over and he sees Jesus and he says, now in the fullness of time, you must go. Because we're not having this. We're not having those who are made in my image be an eternity on the cross. So he takes the execution on the cross in our spot. And then suddenly, the term Good Friday arrives. Because now he has taken our spot. He's taken our spot on the cross. And this is our identity. God took my place on the cross through his son, Jesus. And he's no longer there. And we now are in victory. So what does the cross really mean to you? Are you able to say that it's a piece of information that happened in history that's debated? Or you can say it's the cross that has transformed me from someone concerned about my money, my schedule, my time, into a servant of God because of the blood of his son. And I will remain steadfast in that transformation despite the world telling me, no, you need to be concerned about your money, your schedule, and all the things that are really important to you. So who delivered Jesus over to be crucified? Well, we get this Pilate. So Pilate had him delivered over. Well, he was cajoled by the crowd. Crucify him, crucify him. We have no king but Caesar. You know, so it could be labeled to the people. But who delivered Jesus over to be crucified? Will anyone raise your hand that it was you? It was me. I'm the one that sent him over. It was my sin. And when you realize that we're the ones that sent him to be crucified, that transformation from information to the child of God and the great deed that he's done because we delivered him over because of our sin. When it was our turn to go up on the cross, he steps in and pushes us to the side. Oh no, I got this covered. He had it covered for us. And he took on that crucifixion. And he did it in this humble inspiration. This humble inspiration. But I want to go back one more time to who delivered Jesus over to the cross. And of course, we can blame all that. And we can raise our hand and say it was our sin or whatever. But I have to remember the person who really delivered him over to the cross was himself. He's the one that went in our place. He says, not you, you are a child of God. And so this humble inspiration came upon him, and he says, I'm going to do this. He could have jumped ship right when he was in the wilderness for 40 days and 40 nights when the angels came and said, oh, I'm not going to go with this. He could have jumped ship before that, before I'm not going to go in down to Bethlehem. No, this isn't going to work out for me that I'm going to have to give my body and blood. Judas, maybe, you know, let's just stop this whole thing. No, none of this crazy what ifs about selfishness. In humility, Jesus made himself the lowest. And he was inspired to do that because of the love so that we would not be on that cross. So this humble inspiration and this whole crucifixion indicates that God is victorious and that victory becomes ours. Because he takes it on for us. This crucifixion indicates our victory because the sin is taken care of. Now remember, your sin, your selfishness, your selfish ambition, your idolatry, your painful words, things that you should be doing that you didn't do, all the confessions that we've confessed for years and years and years, we have taken them all up and we found the crevices in the crown of thorns. We found the crevices in his back where he was beaten. We found it and we stuffed them in. And we kept stuffing the sin of the whole world into Jesus. That yes, even the earthquakes were arriving because of the pain of sin upon Jesus. It was so horrible that God had to turn away and not look at him. His own godness in Jesus on the cross. And when God turns away, he sees you forgiven. He sees you having the victory. He sees his people, the exiles of the church that are still in faith that Ezekiel went to see in sadness because of their sin. Ezekiel is no longer crying for 7 days. Ezekiel now has been raised up with great joy as well as the church today. Because we have all of this in Christ. What does your sin look like? We don't know anymore because it's gone as far as the east is from the west. The wounds that skewered him are healed. And so our sin is gone. We now talk about the victory of Jesus. And now we are the church that trusts in the crucifixion. This is our transformation. It is just not a little bit of a mouthpiece or lip service. Yeah, Jesus. No, this is our identity that will never stop us, that will keep us going and going as the world tries to take away the word husband and wife and replace it with partner. It doesn't go because God has given us those terms. As the world tries to take away male and female, husband and wife, it doesn't flow because these are the terms that are coming from heaven. It is only the abomination of sin that attacks Christ himself that we see in those capacities. So we trust in the victory of the crucifixion and we carry on his mission given to us. Because just as Christ was sent to the crucifixion, we now are sent by the crucifixion. As you came in this morning, you had an opportunity to pick up a cross, maybe a larger one, maybe a smaller one. But here's what I want with that cross for you, if you so want one. Some of them are small enough to put in your pocket or whatever, and we've kind of talked about what it means to you, but now I want this cross to be a reminder to you. Think of someone in your life, maybe two or three people. Maybe it's five or six, or maybe some of you, it may be great more, but think of a person that has not been transformed by the cross, but is still dancing in information. It's still all about themselves. I want you to pray for that person. Pray for them every time you come across that cross. Maybe it's somewhere in your house, or maybe it's in your car, or wherever. And pray for that person that somehow, some way, that the light of Christ will transform them from information to the crucifixion and victory in Christ Jesus. This cross is that reminder of our sin is gone and placed upon Jesus, who is able to overcome it. And Jesus wants this for every person in the world. He does not want one to fall through the cracks. And he has given this gift of the cross to the church to communicate. Not big, long messages and big, long conversations with huge words of or memorized Bible verses, but a simple, loving heart that goes out to the person or persons that you are praying for, that somehow the message of the gospel will do its hard work as it's done on us through the power of the Holy Spirit. So we have been sent by that crucifixion because we've been delivered from our crucifixion. Why in the world would you get up in the morning and it's windy and raining and make your way to church? Because I'm not being crucified. I am not going to die on that cross for an eternity. My Savior took my spot. You're going to try and keep me from worshiping the guy who took my spot on the cross from eternity. Get out my way. I'm on my way because he has delivered me to everlasting life. That's transformation of the heart. That's life-changing. The great sending sent Jesus to the cross so that we will never be sent to the cross. Now we are sent with the cross in the name of the resurrection, in the name of our victory, his execution for our transformation. That is the message of eternity for the church. That's what makes us smile every day. We have Jesus. In his name, amen.